So we're going to have a shorter talk tonight, and I've entitled this sermon, The True Light. So the reading we had just before the Christingle was John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. Just a few weeks ago, I preached on the first five verses, so I thought it might be helpful to briefly recap on what we learned that night and then get into verses 6 to 13. So the first two verses read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Jesus is eternally one with the Father. He is the very Word of God. We can know from the Scriptures that Jesus is God. As we read the Gospels, we can know what God is like, because we see Jesus, who is God in flesh. And Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Then verse 3 continues, "All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being, but has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus, the Word, was God's agent in creating all things. The triune God made everything. All of time, space, and matter are in his hands. He created and maintains physical life, and also imparts spiritual life to us. And verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it." Jesus is the light. The light of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, shall not be overcome or overtaken. So, as we turn our attentions to verses 6 to 13, what are we going to cover tonight? I've got three main points. The first can be drawn from verses 6 to 8, the witness of Christ. The second from verses 9 to 11, the light of Christ. And the third, from verses 12 and 13, the work of Christ. So our first point, the witness of Christ. Verses 6 and 7 read, "There was a man, having been sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, so that all might believe through him." In John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, the Apostle John introduces us to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man sent from God to bear witness about the light, Jesus Christ. John was chosen by God to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. His birth was miraculous. We are told in Luke chapter 1 that his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were childless because Elizabeth was barren. When they were advanced in years, God sent the angel Gabriel to tell Zechariah that Elizabeth would give birth to a son. The angel told Zechariah that the son was to be named John. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and have a special role in turning many people to God, and he would prepare the way for the coming Messiah, Jesus. Verse 8 continues, "He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light." John the Baptist's mission was not to be the Messiah himself, but to point to him. He prepared the way for Jesus by calling people to turn to God in repentance, declaring that the kingdom of heaven was close by, and baptizing those who sought forgiveness for their sins. He lived a simple life in the wilderness, focusing only on God's calling. His life and ministry reminds us of the importance of staying focused on eternal matters, such as knowing God, living according to his will, rather than getting distracted with temporary and fleeting interests. Our second point, the light of Christ, drawn from verses 9 to 11. Verse 9, reads, "There was true light coming into the world." In John chapter 8, verse 12, we read, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" I want us to think for a moment here. God the Son, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, became like one of us. God the Son was sat at the right hand of the Father in glory, yet he came to this world to be born of a virgin in a smelly cattle shed and placed in a stone feeding trough lined with straw. Really, it is unimaginable that God the Son should become a man, and it hardly seems fitting that the Son of God should be born in such a lowly place. But Jesus' life on earth truly shows us he was fully God and fully man. Hebrews 4 verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus, although he is God, knows fully what it is like to be human because he became human. So we can draw near to him in our weaknesses to receive mercy and grace. It's worth noting here, as lowly as the Saviour's birth was, heaven did put on a show, with companies of angels announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds, which we read about earlier, and the star that guided the Magi to the baby Jesus. These two very different groups of people knew this was no ordinary baby, for he was a saviour and a king. We then read that this light enlightens everyone. We can see throughout human history that God has given many blessings to the world, like a hospitable planet to live on, seasons that give us seed time and harvest, and nature that is more beautiful than it needs to be. Through the church, the nations have developed education, healthcare, law and order, social action, and concepts that apply to the role of government. These things are received by all. There is enough light in this world for everyone to know that God is good. On a dark day when the sky is thick with heavy clouds, we still know it's day. We can't see the sun or the sky, but we know it's day. The same is true in our lives, in this world. Even on the darkest days, there is enough light for everyone to know that God is good. But the greatest blessing God has given this world is the gospel. And here it is in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So, the bad news is that we need saving in the first place. We may ask ourselves, from what? From our sin. Whether we think our sin is great or small, I'm sure none of us doubt that we do sin. Even when we don't want to sin, we say and do things that we regret. It is our sin that separates us from God, and that separation is serious. It is literally as serious as it gets. If we are not reconciled with God, we will pay for our sin in hell forever, for no sin can enter heaven. But here is the good news. God so loved the world that God the Son became one of us, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for the sins of everyone who will call on his name and will turn to him and confess their sin to him, proclaiming he is both Lord and Saviour. And so Christ takes away the sin of his people. But more than that, he gives a new start in life by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. As we walk the Christian life, as Christians, we don't become sinless, but we fight sin by the Spirit's help within us, secure in the fact that Jesus paid for our sin. For we are now in Christ, who has clothed us spiritually in his perfect righteousness, so we can be seen on the day of judgment as having no sin, for Christ has taken it away, but perfect righteousness, for Christ has clothed us in his righteousness. We are not worthy that God should do all this for us, but it is by his grace that he has chosen to save a people. And then in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Although Jesus, being God, created the world did not recognize their creator. Sadly, many did not come to the light of Christ. And then in verse 11, he came to what was his own, and his own were, and those who were his own did not receive him. Throughout our history, God had ministered to the world through the people of Israel, and it was to the tribe of Judah that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, was born. Israel had God's word, what we call the Old Testament, containing the prophets and all God's promises. If the world could be held accountable for not recognizing Jesus, their creator, through general revelation, how much more Israel, who had received so much more from God's hand? The Old Testament was literally their nation's history, and yet many did not recognize their Messiah. And then our third point, the work of Christ. We read in verse 12, but as many did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believed in his name. I once heard it said, the greatest thing you can give your child is a good name. And I see where this is coming from. A good family name is important. I'm a Ridgeway. Growing up, my family didn't have power, fame, or fortune, but we had a good reputation and were well liked in the town where we lived. And I thank and praise God for that. But truly, the greatest thing you can give your child is access to the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is Saviour to everyone who believes and calls on his name. Jesus is the only name we can call on to be saved. He is the only hope we have. We can become part of God's family, the church, and walk together with our Lord and his people, having the sure and certain hope of eternity with him in our hearts. This is the greatest gift ever, to be adopted into God's family and to be known by his name as a Christian. In verse 13 we then read, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is truly the light of the world. It is God's will to save a people from every tribe, language, and nation. God no longer ministers through a particular nation, but through his church, so that his glorious gospel, that Christ died to save sinners like you and me, may be preached to the whole world. So tonight, come closer to Jesus for light. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what you've done. If God is calling you, just come to him. So this Christmas, don't be distracted by the turkey, tinsel, and trinkets, but, like John the Baptist, take the call of the Lord seriously. Call on his name and become a child of God. And if you feel you want to know more about how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven, grab one of us after the service. We'd love to chat more to you about the light of the world, who is Jesus. And if you have already put your trust in him, then take every opportunity and even create opportunities to share and reflect this light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, with your friends and family. Amen.